All right. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Great to see you all. Thanks for joining us online. If you are at home and joining with us, thanks to you guests for being with us. Great to see you all. My name is Darren. I'm going to be looking at a passage for us today that kicks off our week of prayer and fasting. So if you can, you can. If you're at home, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We've got sheets of paper with the scripture on them. They're on your tables. There should be one for everyone. So the passages we're looking at from Philippians chapter 1. If you want to use the Bibles that are there behind you in your seats, you can do that as well. Philippians chapter 1 is on page 1113 in those Bibles behind you. Let me pray for us as we get into the text. God, thank you for being with us. We praise you and acknowledge you as worthy of our praise, our gratitude, and our very lives. Would you now come and speak to us by your word? Open up your truth within us, God. Would you speak to us now by your spirit? In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, so I expected this time next week, my plans were to be out of the country, to fly to, I was going to go through New York City and end up in Mexico, probably be near the beach, and have some, of course, for some work meetings, right? But and even as I planned this talk, I thought that was the plan for the end of this week. But by Friday morning, of course, I got the email saying that those meetings had been canceled and that the whole trip was off. How many of us have had canceled plans, big or small, in the last week or two? Yeah, see some head shaking? We're sort of in another one of those spaces where life is uncertain and unpredictable. We're living through a season of unknowns. And so I came across this video this week on TikTok about how the last 2 years have felt. Now, I want to just say, for those of you at home, in case this doesn't translate when we show the video.
So, yeah, I mean, that's
all about to happen. It's a conversation that a guy's having with hopes, dreams, and plans. This is how it's felt in the last couple of years. And then all of that is interrupted by this very annoying person with an American accent. Sorry about that. Can't do anything about that. He's annoying and he's loud on purpose. And he's called Awful Stuff. Let's watch the video.
If you want to lock it in.
Sure, yeah.
And actually, you know, that aligns perfectly with the two of you, so that's great.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, let's make it happen.
So I guess just in terms of, you know, like next concrete moves.
Oh.
Hi. Sorry, we're just in the middle of something here.
Yeah, look at that. That's cool.
Should we be worried about that? I'm going to say no. Okay, so then let's just move forward with that together and...
Sorry, he's tuning a guitar over there.
Sorry, can you not tune that guitar with intent, please?
I'm actually untuning it. I make things worse. That's my thing.
Okay, well, please don't do anything. We're trying to get some stuff done over here.
Maybe he'll go away?
I gotta say, I'm starting to feel a little iffy.
Okay, it might not be that bad. Okay, let's not panic.
Let's go!
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, this doesn't seem too bad. Maybe we can just work through this.
Mama!
Okay, that sounds really bad.
Ooh!
Okay. Well, okay. Well, maybe we...
Okay, you know what? I think I'm gonna go.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, no, I'm gonna go.
Okay, but like temporarily, right?
I mean, I think we're gonna go too, to be honest. This is not sounding good.
Really?
Sorry.
I get it.
That was almost something.
Beep, beep, beep.
I wish I had a flute.
Oh! Hey guys, I think it's getting better.
Hey,
it's like, it's not that bad anymore, right?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's not that bad anymore. You lost weight, by the way.
I did.
I feel, like, not too bad about this.
Yeah.
Holy hey, should we get plans back in here?
I mean,
yeah, let's get them in here, right?
Hey, plans!
Hey, I think I'm back.
Yeah? I kind of think I am.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, great. So let's get back into what we were talking about, right? Let's,
Wait, it's getting louder.
Oh, God, he's coming back. Oh, God.
I'm out.
No, plans. Oh, plans.
Yeah, I think I'm going to head out, too.
Don't you...
I sent that to a friend, and they texted back, I would be laughing, but I'm crying. How many of us find that we're living in the big sort of if space again? Well, let's look at the text here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. We're going to pick up there. This is our theme for the week, worthy. And in Philippians 1, 27, Paul writes, whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Let's unpack that word worthy for just a moment. In the definition that I found, it said it's having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a special way. This seems to not be picking up. There we go. Having or showing the qualities or abilities that merit recognition in a specific way. It means considerable or important. Worthy means deserving, as in this is deserving of my effort or my attention or my time. You know, how often do we ask ourselves sort of quietly under our breath, is this really worth my time? Is this worth my attention? Is it worth the effort? Christmas often brings a couple of things like that into our house. I find that pomegranates are one of those things that are very nice, but sometimes not worth the effort. Do we have some pomegranate fans here? Are they worth the effort? I mean, they're good, but I don't know if they're worth the effort. What about chestnuts? Chestnuts, another thing that, you know, kind of okay, but worth the effort? Not really. That's why there's easy peelers on your tables right here, right? Is it worth the effort? That's the definition of worthy. So Paul says, and let me give us some context here. As he writes this, he is writing from a Roman prison cell. And he's under the threat of execution. And in fact, for context, if we just sort of go back on the page that you have there in front of you in Philippians chapter 2, picking up in verse 22, before we get to this theme verse, it starts with a big, what we'd now maybe consider a four-letter word, if. Right, let's pick it up in verse 22. If I'm to go on living in the body, this is a man writing from a prison cell facing execution, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus, that is your joy in Jesus, will abound on account of me. Paul's choice is not really a choice. It's beyond his control. He can either be executed for preaching the gospel, but then together with Christ for eternity, or he can carry on his life purpose here on earth, his ministry to the churches. And he says, in spite of that, in the very next verse, verse 27, whatever happens, whether I can come and be with you or not, whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in this way. That's what he says. And we as a church, and you personally, are living in another time of life, a season where we're kind of like a whatever happens sort of circumstance, aren't we? And we are, as a people, called, I think, to live in a whatever happens kind of way. Some people I know that I've talked to have felt like it's impossible to set New Year's resolutions for 2022 or even kind of life goals, right? I mean, who knows what'll happen? That's exactly the situation for Paul, the prisoner awaiting trial and facing possible execution. He writes a letter to his friends and says, look, I may see you and I may not, but whatever happens, this is how I want you to live. And so for me, I can say as I look at 2022, I may travel outside of the UK for work sometime this year. I may not. How would you start the beginning of that sentence? I may fill in the blank this year, or I may not. But I do know for me, whatever happens, I want to remember my citizenship and to live a life that's worthy of the gospel. As you start that statement, how do you fill in the blank? I may start a new job. I may not. I may see my family that's thousands of miles away. I may not. I may be granted asylum here in the UK, or I may not. How would you start that sentence? And yet, can we together, church, live as a people, whatever happens, who remember their citizenship and who live lives that are worthy of the gospel? Let's look at that next part of the phrase, as citizens of heaven. What does that mean? Paul's writing to a colony of the Roman Empire. Philippi is a town, and they're proud of it. They're people who are part of the Roman Empire, and he makes a comparison. Just as Philippi is a Roman outpost operating under the laws and expectations of Rome, you Christians are passport-holding citizens of heaven. So one commentator writes, as citizens, heaven's laws are their laws, and heaven's privileges are their privileges. You know, some of us understand citizenship, don't we? Most of us should understand what it means to be a citizen of a place. Some of us more than others, because where we live is different from where we were born in terms of nationality. How many of us today were born outside of England? You want to raise your hand if you were born outside of England? Yeah? So there's a good number of us. And then how many of the rest of us have traveled outside of England using a passport? Hopefully you've traveled using a passport outside of England. Paul's speaking to identity when he talks about citizenship. Remember who you are. Remember where you belong. Whatever happens, remember who you are and where you belong, and then act accordingly. So I'm going to hand things over to Andy, and that's the first part of this talk, just to set up this next activity we're going to do together. Paul says, whatever happens, remember your citizenship in heaven. As citizens of heaven, live your lives in a manner that's worthy of the gospel of Christ. Worthy meaning deserving of. And Paul says, don't just think about it, but live it. Live it out in your life together as a church. And you may think, that sounds great, but what does it look like to actually live in a manner that's worthy of the gospel? In this context, look at what Paul has to say. We're just staying right here in the letter and what he writes. Look at verse 27. Then, live in a manner of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, he says, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together in one accord for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Let me read that again. I'll know that you will stand firm in one spirit, striving together with one accord for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Paul's saying here that this is how you live in a manner that's worthy of the gospel. You stand together, whatever happens. You stay together, united by the Holy Spirit. And you suffer or you struggle together without being afraid of whatever comes against you. Isn't that interesting that he describes what a life worthy of the gospel looks like in terms of how we live it out together? And he says, stand together, whatever happens. Stay together through the Holy Spirit and struggle or face opposition that comes against you together. Look at the similarities to what he writes in Philippians to the letter that I put next to the text there on the sheet that you have in front of you. If you're at home, Ephesians chapter 4, the very beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, a different letter to a different set of friends in a church in a different city. But he says this, as a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Very similar words, isn't it? And then he says this, here's how you live it out. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Somehow, for Paul, the commonalities between these two letters, when he says live a life that's worthy of the gospel, it seems to be about a life of love towards one another. And so he says this, to do this without being frightened, verse 28 of the opposition that comes against you, and also to be willing to suffer or to struggle on account of Christ. He's saying, friends, this isn't going to be easy. When I call you to a life that's worthy of the gospel, it isn't an easy life. So what does it mean for us to live in this way? What does a worthy life look like? One commentator that I looked at this week said it really well. It says, the worthy life is not one that's a fugitive and cloistered virtue. In other words, it's not hidden away. The worthy life is the one that's exposed. It's vulnerable. It puts itself out there, and it lives in these places, in a life that's worthy, that stands firm, that's united in suffering. Paul's saying, get out there and make a difference, but stick together. Stand firm in one spirit, verse 27. Strive together in one accord. That means one heart and one soul as friends for the faith of the gospel. And then he continues to describe it in the next chapter. And this is what we tend to do. Sometimes we break things into chapters in our Bibles and we sort of stop right there at the end of chapter one and don't continue into the next chapter. But he paints the picture a little bit more for us. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. When Paul describes what a worthy life looks like, he describes selfless self-sacrifice, humility towards others, looking out for the interests of others. And then there's that phrase that we looked at in our theme verse, worthy of the gospel. What does it mean to live a life that's worthy of the gospel? Well, Paul continues in the second chapter of Philippians, starting in verse 8. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind that Christ Jesus had. And then he describes the attitude of Christ. Being in his very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Friends, here is the gospel. Here is the good news that we orient our lives around. The life that we are called to live in a worthy manner points us to a Jesus who reminds us that we are not worthy ourselves, not able or capable to live in this way. We are in need of a Savior, one who came to suffer and die on the cross on our behalf. The gospel of servant-hearted humility points us to Christ as our pattern of humble, servant-hearted living. And so, friends, as we apply the theme for this week, in our week of prayer to our lives, as we seek to learn how to live a life that's worthy of the gospel, let me remind us of a few ways that we can live this out. To live a life worthy of the gospel, we need to know the gospel and to love it. And that may mean for you coming to trust and follow Jesus for the first time in your life. And so that invitation is there for you today. What a great way to begin the year, to take that step of faith, to live trusting and knowing the truth of the gospel, and then to respond with a life of sacrificial love towards one another. So a couple of questions for us to live by. And maybe this is for you this week or this year. Where can I show selfless, sacrificial love for my church family in the same way that Christ has done for me? How can I show selfless, sacrificial love in the same way that Christ has done for me? The second one is to maybe spend time this week examining what is truly worthy of your time, your effort, your attention. Later in the letter that Paul writes to the Philippians, he explores in chapter 4 an exploration. He points towards what's really worthy of our time, thoughts, and attention. Verse 8 of chapter 4, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely or admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, there's that word, praiseworthy, think about such things. You know, fasting, as we talk about the week of prayer and fasting is a great way to practice setting aside something as a physical way of saying, God, you are worth more to me than this thing that I love and enjoy. And that may be food, that could be media, that could be sweets, alcohol, you choose. Explore this week, is there anything that has my time and attention, and is it truly worthy of my time and attention and effort? And then in this week, another way to examine and explore a life that's worthy is to pray for one another. In our week of prayer and fasting, here's a few things to pray for. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself that, and pray this. God, give me whatever happens today. Give me an attitude of whatever happens. Help me to remember my heavenly citizenship and to live accordingly. Whatever happens, help me to remember my heavenly citizenship and to live accordingly. You can pray for yourself. You can pray for the church. Make us a people together who stand firm in unity, who advance the gospel by advancing together. Pray for us as a church and pray for our mission together of sharing the gospel through word and through works. That's the invitation to the week of prayer and the theme of worthy that we'll explore daily. There's daily reflections and meditations that are going to come your way through the email with passages that point us to this places in Scripture where the word worthy appears. Let me pray for us as we move into this week. Jesus, we celebrate your life, death, and resurrection, and we thank you that you have established for us grace. We acknowledge that we, in our own efforts, are not able or capable of living according to your pattern, and so we pray that you would count us worthy, that you would enable us by your divine power to live in unity with one another, to be humble towards one another and loving and sacrificial ways. God, draw our minds and our time and attention this week towards you, the only one who is worthy above all other things. Would you purify us, clarify for us the things that are distractions, and give us a hunger and a thirst and a satisfaction only in you. I pray that for myself. I pray that for my brothers and sisters in this room and online. And for us as a church fellowship, God, would you advance your gospel because we stand together in unity for your name's sake. Amen.